ever met. Oh my God. My mouth hung open as I suddenly remembered the day I'd probably push from my memory out of pure rage. I was still in my honeymoon stage with Aaron, and I'd decided to make his birthday the hugely elaborate affair I'd never had for any of mine. So I spent a week researching recipes, pulling favors from our favorite vendors at Vandermark, and gathering the most beautiful array of flowers, candles, and dinner ingredients. I ended up with an absolutely perfectly curated spread, gathered from the top florists, decorators, and gourmet markets from all five boroughs, and even some farms upstate. I slept barely a wink the night before because I was so excited to create this masterpiece of an evening for Aaron, but he wound up staggering drunk into the apartment, sleeping through dinner, and waking up around midnight to stuff some of my herb-roasted lamb loin in his mouth before going back to bed and throwing it up an hour later. "Oh, my God," I breathed, letting the memory sink in. "Oh, my God! I'm getting so pissed off just thinking about it again." I laughed in disbelief, smacking Mason repeatedly, and so hard even Noah yelled at me from a few chairs down. "I'm sorry." Mason dodged me with a giant grin on his face. "I didn't realize you had all that planned for him. He didn't tell me. And look, I was pretty drunk myself that day, but I could already tell when I walked into the apartment and saw you that you were way too fucking good for him. I'd never seen his place that clean, and I'd never smelled food that incredible, so yeah. Definitely the one time in my life I felt jealous of Aaron." I covered my face with my hands. My hair was a mess. I remember I was sweating and I was covered in flour and lemon juice and probably a bunch of other stuff. "Yeah, well," Mason laughed. "You still looked better than anything I'd ever laid my eyes on in my life. And I remember looking at you and just selfishly fucking wanting you right away." Mason slipped his hand under my robe, stroking the small of my back. "I think I had 10 fantasies about how to steal you from Aaron before you even told me your name," he muttered, rubbing his jaw as he smirked at himself. "It was pretty rough, but you definitely made it easier on me when Aaron started distancing himself from me. From the family."
I frowned, confused. "Why?"
"It sucked not seeing him as much. But the bright side was that I did prefer to forget about you. It was easier to pretend you didn't exist, and there wasn't something out there I couldn't have. And most of the time, I could do that just fine. I didn't think about you every day, I promise you that. But then the random nights when I did, when I thought about you and what I knew about you, how good you were to Aaron, it would fucking hurt."
My voice was small as I ran my finger along his collarbones and down the deep line between his chest. I couldn't help thinking about his undeniable history with women. "I have a feeling I know what you'd do when it was late at night and you felt down."
"You're not wrong about it either," Mason said honestly, his voice low. "Felt good at the time, though. At least I thought it did. But I'm realizing now how much more you feel it when you're with someone you've wanted for a while. Every touch or kiss, or just the way she looks at you. It feels nice with any pretty girl, but with the one you've been fantasizing about for years, it's like a fucking high."
His eyes traced his fingers, which brushed down my calves.
"It starts to become an addiction, and all you can think about anymore is when you'll see her next. All the things you want to find out about her, what she looks like happy or sad, how she laughs when she's nervous, what sounds she'll make when you touch her a certain way."
God, Mace, he was describing my own recent feelings to a T, but coming from his mouth, they sounded so goddamned sexy. I can relate to that curiosity, just wanting nonstop to discover more, I said softly, the blue of Mason's eyes lighting into me in a way that sparked all my senses. His bare skin felt hotter under my touch. I could hear every dip, every hum and lilt of his voice, and it certainly felt like I was seeing differently now. "She's a lucky girl," I smiled as Mason leaned into me. "Any chance I know her?" The way his lips twisted up was irresistible.
"I'd say so."
I was swooning at this point.
I didn't care that Sophia and Noah were laughing at me from the pool, either. I was falling, and there was no hiding it. So leaning into Mason, I let his sweet lips kiss me. But I felt barely a flicker of his tongue before we both found ourselves doused by two giant splashes of water. "Get a room!" Sophia's eyes twinkled impishly as she clung to the edge of the pool, laughing with Noah and several others. "Seriously, you have a room, so use it. Like, now." As she wiggled her eyebrows, I plucked the pineapple slice from my drink and chucked it at her. "I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it." "Fine," Sophia huffed, splashing me once more before swimming away. I laughed as Mason yelled after her, both of us blinking water from our eyes. He was still running a hand over his face when I got up from his lap to shed my soaked cover-up. But once his eyes found me again, they lit up like diamonds. Christ. His stare devoured me as he rose to his feet and grabbed me like I might disappear if he didn't. "Taylor, you look fucking..." He cursed at his own loss of words. "I'll do anything if you let me take you to our room right now." I smiled.
"Why? Your permission to touch me ends once we get back to our room. Remember?"
"I hate this game. I don't want to play it anymore."
"I do," I grinned, as he held my waist tight and kissed my neck. I breathed out hard when I felt his tongue flick over me, drawing a wet, hot line along my tingling skin.
"You're fucking twisted."
Mason smirked against the underside of my jaw. As his fingertips snuck under the edges of my bikini top, he nipped at me, getting me so painfully hot and bothered. Rolling my head back, I closed my eyes, far too aroused to care about the fact that we were in plain view of the guests of his brother and my ex's wedding. The engagement itself was built upon tackiness and bad taste, so surely it didn't matter if I decided to show a little PDA with Mason at the hotel, even if it was the kind that had me briefly cupping his package and squeezing till he gave me that deep, masculine grunt.
"Fuck. What are you trying to do to me, Taylor?"
Mason whispered pleadingly. I didn't answer, only wrapping my arms around his neck and going on my tiptoes to kiss him. My tongue teased his, darting quickly between his lips and disappearing, repeating over and over till he groaned in frustration and slammed me against his chest with two handfuls of my ass. When I gasped, he pounced, thrusting his tongue into my mouth and sweeping voraciously through me, without an ounce of apology.
"God, I can feel how hard you are," I whispered, my smile pressed against his. "Only you get me this fucking hard," Mason muttered. "You have no fucking idea, Taylor. You don't know how many times I've fantasized about you."
"Tell me."
"I lost count a while ago. But trust me when I say I've thought way too many times about sucking on those perfect tits and burying every inch of my cock inside you. I've waited long and hard for you, Taylor."
Mason's tone was intense, his shallow breaths serrated. One firm squeeze of my left breast, and I gasped again, pushing off of his body. I scolded him with the wicked look in my eye.
"How much longer can you wait?" I asked, my heart pounding. "I've been at my limit for a long fucking time."
His hard voice made me chew my lip. "No," I shook my head. "You haven't reached your breaking point if you're still standing here. And I still have my clothes on."
Mason groaned angrily. "Fuck, Taylor. Seriously. What are you trying to do to me right now?"
I released my lip from between my teeth. "I just want to see what you're going to do to me after all these years of waiting. And I want to see how much longer you can wait. The longer you do, the better it'll feel."
"God, you seriously are fucking evil sometimes,"
Mason hissed, his square jaw clenched tight. But he let me go and waltz off to find Sophia, who was already cracking up by the time I joined her, Noah, and a few others in one of the cabanas.
"You're fucking asking for it now,"
Noah smirked as we eyed Mason from across the pool. The second I left him, he was quickly flanked by girls he seemed to know, judging from the familiar way they said hi.
"He's hating small talk a million times more than usual right now. Noah snorted as Mason did his best to socialize, without looking like some tortured caged beast. His every muscle was flexed in silent irritation, as he leaned back on the balcony, barely managing a smile for the chattering girls around him. God, I'm definitely in for it now, I grinned, as I lounged on the chaise. Climbing forward on my hands and knees, I let Mason watch as I slowly lowered myself to lie on my stomach. Somehow, just the position I was laying in had his lip curling, his bicep bulging as he rubbed the back of his neck. Let's see what happens when I do this, Noah muttered, resting his hand on my shoulder. Uh-oh. Oh, shit. He doesn't like that, he laughed, sliding his touch slowly down my back and watching Mason's eyes cloud over with a death look that would have had me fearing for Noah's life if he weren't Mason's best friend. It was probably also the only reason he hadn't already stormed over and grabbed me. He knew his best friend had no interest in me, but then Noah's hand brushed over the knot of my bikini. You're playing with fire, Vandal, Sophia warned in a song. He ignored her, and the second he played with the ends of the bow, giving the slightest little tug, Mason launched off the balcony and left his conversation without a word spoken. There was the breaking point. My mouth fell open as I watched him come, his patience visibly fading with every step he took toward me. I scrambled to my knees on the couch, every inch of my body on fire as I anticipated him. His touch, his skin, all that pent-up lust and fury he'd been saving up for me. I gasped and covered my shriek of a giggle when he finally came over and claimed me, grabbing me at the waist and throwing me easily over his broad shoulder, my hands clasped to my mouth as he marched me out of sight from the party, falling away only once he'd taken me into the furthermost cabana. Yanking the rope, he untied the curtains, letting them fall shut before tossing me onto the bed and climbing on top of me. I can't wait anymore, Mason growled, ripping the triangles of my bikini apart. He groaned when my breasts sprung free, kneading them in his hands for a hasty second, before sucking my nipples into his mouth, swirling his tongue till they stiffened into peaks so tight it almost hurt. But I felt nothing but pleasure, curling my fingers against Mason's muscled shoulders and raking them down the perfect V of his back, wordlessly begging him to give me more. Anything. I wanted his tongue, his breath, his fingers, his cock. I could feel it straining furiously against his trunks, and all I wanted was to feel it ease inside me, then plunge in with a force. I can't wait either, I panted, as Mason pushed my bikini bottoms aside, sliding his fingers inside me. He cursed immediately. Fuck, baby. You're so wet for me. Mason tunneled inside me, watching my lips part wider and wider for him. Christ, I can't believe how fucking wet you are, he muttered before clenching his jaw and groaning that he didn't have a condom. In the robe, I panted, a despaired sound escaping my chest when Mason lifted his weight from my body, getting off of me for the short second it took to snatch my cover up from the ground. Let me, I breathed, grabbing it, my cheeks flushed as Mason watched me find the condom and tear the wrapper apart. By the time I was done, he had his cock out and resting heavy in his palm, looking hard as a rock, and so fucking delectable I had to moan and reach to touch it. Let me feel it, Mason. Please. I will, he murmured hoarsely. I need you to take everything off for me first, baby. Get naked for me. His eyes refused to break from their stare on me as I fully undressed for him, tearing my bikini off and writhing out of my bottoms as he rolled the rubber onto his shaft, over every thick, hard inch that had me desperately squeezing my breasts till Mason growled and lowered himself on top of me, drawing the flat of his tongue over my tight nipple and teasing my wet pussy with the flared tip of his cock. It pulsed against me, sending a million little aches to my core and forcing every desperate, filthy plea of need to burst from my lips. They lit a fire behind Mason's eyes. Tell me again, Taylor, he rasped greedily. Tell me how much you want my cock. I need it. Back arched, nails dug in his skin. I begged him. I need you inside me. I breathed achingly. Every second he made me wait turned my desire into pain. And it made me wonder how the hell he could have waited so long, when I couldn't wait 2 seconds. Say it. I need your cock, I moaned, feverish, loving and hating the way he rumbled with delight over my anguished desperation. I need it now, I... My jaw dropped as he pushed between my saturated folds. Clinging to his neck, shock held my mouth wide open. He had only inches of himself inside me, and already I felt spread apart, the throbbing head of his cock so much thicker than it looked, stretching me so perfectly around him, I could hardly breathe. I made barely a sound when he finally thrust inside me, every inch of his steel spearing me and filling me to the hilt with gratification. Fuck! The sharp growl expelled from his lips once he was fully inside me. Jesus Christ, you feel so fucking good, Taylor, Mason growled, moving swiftly but powerfully, his every solid pump between my legs drawing a deep, throaty groan from his lips. I arched my back, grabbing handfuls of his ass. God, I was somewhere else now, completely out of my mind with satisfaction. His touch, his sounds, his rhythmic rocking, everything turned the heat of my body up higher by the second. Look at me, Taylor. I obliged his command, feeling the sudden lock of two magnets when our eyes met. Tell me how good my cock makes you feel. I shook my head as I moaned, barely able to get any words out. Can't. You will. Tell me. Tell me how wet your pussy is for me, Taylor. I tangled my fingers in his hair, drunk off the sound of his ramming into me. You can hear it, I whispered. I can. And it's like music to my fucking ears. Mason rumbled against my lips as he crushed his kiss over my mouth. Every inch of his body was rock solid as he worked his pace up, till he was slamming ferociously inside me. Each stroke longer, more forceful than the last. The sound alone had me wild, and I could feel myself squeezing around him, my insides tightening and threatening me with an orgasm unlike any I'd ever had in my life. Don't stop, Mason, I exhaled. Please don't stop. He took those words as, go harder, and I didn't object. I was just grateful for the intensity of his kiss, because I needed something, anything to shut me up, as Mason fucked me with abandon, tempting the ecstasy to spill from my lips. The blood was rushing so fast in my ears now that I could tune out any other sounds if I wanted to, and I did. I wasn't sure what was happening around the pool, and I didn't want to know. I wanted to drown in the pleasure Mason drilled into me with such ferocity now that I was ready to explode. Too lost to pay any mind to what I subconsciously knew was an escalating problem outside. Stubbornly, I ignored it. But then it forced itself upon me. The sounds of muttering and jostling outside the cabana faded into my ears, only seconds before it was too late. And as the curtains ripped open, a sharp gasp ripped from my throat. I pushed Mason off of my body, just as I heard a voice snarl, "What the fuck, Taylor?" I didn't have to turn to know who it was, but I did, covering myself with my hands as I found my eyes suddenly staring into the ones I hadn't seen in months. It was Aaron. Chapter 18. Wrapped in just my soaked robe, I trembled behind the wall of Mason's body, my fury trampled by the shock of what Aaron looked like as Noah held him back. It hadn't been that long since I'd seen him, and yet I didn't recognize this man, not because of any physical changes. He still stood 6 feet tall with light brown hair, cut close and styled neatly. His face was still clean-shaven, and he was still dressed in the usual blue button-down and jeans, but his chest was puffed all the way out, his face blood red, and his eyes wild as he thrashed toward me. "Let me fucking talk to her!" He balled his fists, having already chewed out Mason as the party cleared. I could barely make out what the hell he was saying in his rapid fury, but I knew he had to be as pissed as he was because he believed in his heart that I hadn't and would never sleep with Mason. But then, of course, he walked in on us, naked, panting, and undeniably together. I can't fucking believe this. I swear to God, I'm 2 seconds from losing my fucking mind, so for Christ's sake, just let me talk to her. Calm down, before I let you go anywhere near her, Mason snarled, matching Aaron's every sidestep in order to keep me shielded. I mean it, Aaron. Calm the fuck down. What, you think I'm gonna hit her? Aaron's laugh was high-pitched and reedy, sounding almost unhinged. If you think that, you clearly don't fucking know our relationship. I did before you left her out of the goddamn blue. So maybe neither of us know you as well as we thought we did.
Mason bit back, still staring Aaron down as he reached behind his own back for my hand. I took it, letting him give me a comforting squeeze that told me everything would be okay. But it didn't feel that way, because all it took was Aaron looking down at our entwined hands for him to lose it again.
Oh, come the fuck on! If you two are really together, why the hell would you think it'd be okay to come to my wedding, huh? Why the hell did you think it was okay to leave your fiancé to marry my ex, you fucking idiot?
Mason challenged.
It's no different than you being with Eva, Aaron. If I have to accept the fact that you're with my ex, you have to accept the fact that I'm with yours.
Aaron slowed his thrashing against Noah.
Are you serious? Why wouldn't I be? Because you can't fucking compare that, he muttered defensively.
Why not? I finally demanded. I hugged Mason's arm to my chest as I stepped forward to cut my eyes at Aaron. What do you really think is the difference, Aaron? He looked freshly shocked as he gaped at me, letting his eyes take me in, traveling from my face to my body.
What's the difference?
He stared unblinkingly through the wetness of my robe.
The difference is I'm not my brother. I'm not someone who fucks any pretty thing with long legs or a nice rack. I'm marrying Eva, who he never even gave a shit about. Right, Mace? Did you?
He inquired with mock curiosity, tilting his head like a fucking parrot.
You didn't even know her middle name till you saw the wedding invitation, right? So that's the difference. You never cared about Eva, but Taylor? I care about her, and I can't even have the fucking relief of knowing you're taking care of her, because everyone here knows you're just sticking your dick in her to get back at me. That's not what this is.
Mason broke free from me to growl inches from Aaron's face. He was only slightly taller than his brother, but somehow, he dwarfed him as he stood enraged before him.
In case you didn't realize, considering the way you abandoned her, this woman's the best thing that's ever happened to you, and it's not just you, you little shit. She'd be the best thing to happen to any man who's lucky enough to have her. So don't fucking run your mouth telling me what I have with Taylor, because you clearly have trouble recognizing when something is too good to be anything but real.
I could feel the air stripped from my lungs. They weren't even meant for me, but Mason's words had me floating so high, I had to clutch him to stay on my feet. I squeezed my eyes shut for a second, resting my forehead on his arm so I could feel the words sink in. Of course, Aaron wouldn't let me have the moment for long.
Don't fuck around, Mace. She's just another conquest before you move on to the next. You don't care about anything besides that tight little pussy between her legs. Watch your fucking mouth. Or what?
Aaron challenged, something manic about the laughter behind his eyes.
I'll hurt the feelings you don't even fucking have, Mace. Give me a break. I'm your brother. I've known you my entire life, and I know for a goddamned fact that you didn't magically fall for her. I think we've already established that you don't know shit.
Aaron sneered cruelly.
For fuck's sake, it's Taylor we're talking about here. So if you really believe any of the bullshit you're even saying, it's only because she just fucked you stupid.
You're an asshole, I hissed immediately.
hating that there were suddenly tears in my eyes. Aaron was already backtracking, but I shook my head, letting go of Mason and storming past all three of them.
"Screw it, Aaron. I'm not here for your approval," I said, feeling either defeated or liberated. I wasn't even sure.
"I'm just here to move on like you clearly have, but fuck it. I can move on at home, so enjoy your life. Wait!"
There were two sets of footsteps following me now, and I knew they belonged to Mason and Aaron.
"Taylor, wait."
Aaron's hand caught my wrist and squeezed for all of a second before Mason had him yanked back. I spun around expecting to see a fight, but what I saw instead was Aaron's dogged pursuit of me, pain flashing in his light eyes as I looked at him with disgust.
"I didn't mean it like that. I've learned to stop giving a shit what you meant. Baby, please, just let me explain for a second."
I winced just as Mason's lip curled over baby. Aaron wore a pleading look now, but I couldn't bring myself to feel remotely bad as I let Mason come to me and circle a protective arm around my waist.
"I told you I'm not your baby, Aaron, and you've already tried and failed to explain."
"Just give me one second to talk to you in private, Taylor," he whispered desperately.
"I can't stand to see you with him. You know I fucking can't. You know how much this hurts me."
"Yeah? And the way you feel now? That's how I felt when I held the invitation to your wedding in my hand. When I found out that you hadn't left me because you got cold feet. You left me because you decided to trade up for a better bride," I said coldly.
"Well, guess what? I decided to trade up too. And you can either accept that, or you can back out of yet another wedding and be the world's biggest coward for the second time this year."
"And if I did that, would you leave him?" Aaron returned shamelessly.
Mason started at him with a fury he quickly contained. Maybe because I pulled him back. Maybe because he realized we'd wanted this. Exactly this. Forcing Aaron to question his engagement was our whole plan. But with the question he'd just blurted at me, I felt suddenly at odds with the mission. I sensed that Mason did too.
"Answer me,"
Aaron urged tremulously. "Please."
The silence thickened the breezy night air. I'd never felt such tension in my life, and yet somehow I found myself almost wanting to laugh.
"You don't get answers right when you want them, Aaron," I finally said, my voice steady.
"I wanted answers from you, too. But you didn't answer my calls, my texts, my emails, or voicemails. I cried alone countless nights trying to figure those answers out on my own, while you were off living the life with Eva, popping bottles of champagne and giving yourself permission to forget about the person you loved for 3 years. Because that was easier. That felt better. So guess what? I'm doing that tonight."
I let Mason's hand take mine as I glared unapologetically at Aaron. "You can sit around and wonder the way I did." With that, I murmured to Mason, "Let's go." And we did. Fucked up. That was what this was. Not what just happened at the pool with Aaron. What was happening right now on the balcony of Mason in my suite. I was supposed to be wretched. I was supposed to be in tears, torn up over the fact that I'd just seen my ex-fiancé, that his words had been everything from hateful to wounded, as he lashed out at me for moving on from him the way that I did. But I wasn't any of that. My breaths were ragged as I closed my eyes, white-knuckling the railing of the balcony. "This is fucked up," I told myself, as I absorbed every furious thrust behind me with a guiltless, lip-smacking pleasure. Instead of feeling heartbroken, filled with grief, I was in ecstasy, filled with the brutal heat and deep pleasure of Mason's cock piercing inside me. There was still some anger, some fire trickling in from our spat at the pool, but we gladly put that energy to use, his hand encompassing my throat. Mason held me exactly where and how he wanted me, his free hand groping my breast, squeezing me hard as he slammed in and out of my soaked pussy. He was strong, merciless, easily shattering my idea of what good, hard sex was. Whatever notion I had before was a pitiful joke compared to the complete possession I felt with Mason. He was a natural, effortlessly dominant in the way his hands slid all over my body, positioning me swiftly to his liking. And whatever was good for him, I was sure was better for me because I'd never felt this storm brewing in my body before. I'd already come once, my breasts shaking in his hands as he pumped pleasure inside me. I'd already experienced my best orgasm yet, but Mason was still going, convincing me that he had more for me, that the best was yet to come. And I believed him. "This is all I want, Taylor." His sharp whisper cut through the silent night, sliding his hand from my throat to my jaw. He hooked his fingers against my lip. "This mouth is the only fucking mouth I want. I want it first thing in the morning. I want it to be the last thing I taste at night. I don't want to hear it say another man's name. Do you hear me?" he panted in my ear. "Yes," I breathed eagerly. "Only yours." With a groan, he dropped his hands so both squeezed my breasts, giving himself leverage to fuck me with a carnal rage from behind. "And these tits," he grunted fiercely, his long fingers wrapping tight around me, massaging firmly till I gave him a moan. "These fucking beautiful tits are mine."
"You can have anything. Just don't stop," I begged from the pit of my throat.
His lips spread in a grin against the back of my neck as he reached around to my front. "I won't." That velvet reassurance smoothed over the chill on my skin as he played gently with my clit. "Not till I hear you come again."
His fingers tangled in my hair. Mason stroked between my legs, all the while keeping the rhythm of his measured thrusts inside me. "I don't ever want to stop." "God, it was the best thing I could possibly hear." I gasped for breath as he held me still and took over completely. I wasn't used to relinquishing all control, but with Mason, I reveled in it, in the sound that came with his cock driving balls deep inside me with every stroke. "Come for me, Taylor," he demanded, his fist pulsing gently around my hair.
"I need you to come for me."
I whimpered, the tension building with a surging force in my core. "Let me look at you when I come," I whispered, gasping when Mason withdrew from inside me, leaving me with a painful emptiness I'd have never asked for if I knew how it felt. It was barely a second as he carried me from the balcony to the bed, but in my mind, it was an eternity, and I was already begging desperately for him once my back hit the mattress. But as his exquisite body hovered above me, I forgot the void and realized this was worth it. Watching those abs ripple, those eyes blaze into mine as his cock nudged against my pussy and entered me again. I fisted the sheets as I moaned, our eyes locked in the same trance as we rocked against each other, the passion between us like a humid air I could taste. Slick and sliding against each other, our bodies clenched and begged for release. But the euphoria was so unreal, we both refused to let it go. Our pleasure was at capacity, and now I could finally understand what Mason said before, about being stretched to his limit without breaking. Because I felt it now. We were ready to come, but like masochists, we held out, prolonging the final gratification. My nails dug into his skin as the thrust of his hips grew shorter, tighter, each taut push between my legs, joined by a grunt between his gnashed teeth.
"Do you feel what you fucking do to me?"
Mason hissed against my neck as his cock swelled harder inside me.
"You're going to make me come harder than I ever have in my life, Taylor. You drive me fucking crazy."
Slow and steady before, his tempo quickened again, his strokes precise, his hot breaths knifing through the air. I was in sensory overload as he kissed my breasts and licked them as if they were his last meal. When I finally came, the sound of my cry brought him with me, the room filled with the roar of his pleasure as a vicious orgasm shook through every inch of his incredible body. When he collapsed on top of me, I stroked his cheek. I felt the throbbing of his cock still heavy and half-hard between my legs. I relished the awe mixed with content in his eyes, and every hot breath from his mouth that brushed against my swollen lips. Under the strength of his weight, I lay in bliss, in my own private paradise, as I simply watched him watch me. There was no need for answers tonight. I had questions for Mason before we left for St. Lucia, and I promised myself I'd dare to get them when we came back, but I didn't need them anymore. I hadn't been certain of anything in a long time, but securely wrapped in Mason's arms, the air dancing with all the words we didn't have to say, I was certain. I had lost control and fallen hard, but it didn't matter, because he had done just the same. Chapter 19. If there was any doubt about what I'd felt last night, it was vanquished in the morning because, while the wedding was still on, Mason was ready to go. Standing among the bags we'd barely unpacked, I tried to slow him down and let him think. "But what about your mom?" I asked gently, thinking about how Clara would not only lose her younger son, but know forever that his last interaction with Mason had been downright awful. Freshly showered, his towel loosely knotted over his hips, Mason sank to a seat at the edge of the bed. "I don't know," he sighed. "I'll have to tell her he made his choice." "He was doubting himself last night. You saw that."
"I did." Mason lifted his gaze to me. "But if calling the wedding off takes you saying you'll take him back, I don't care to see it happen anymore. I know you wouldn't actually go back to him. I know you want nothing to do with him anymore. But if you say those words, he'll hold them against you and harass you for, I don't know how long, but long enough to continue being a part of your life, and that's not fair to you. You deserve to move on from him and just live again."
"Mason." Appreciation welled in my chest as I stood before him at the bed, letting him pull me in by the backs of my thighs. "I obviously want that, and trust me, I don't want to stay here any longer myself. I was ready to go the second I laid eyes on Aaron last night, but I also don't want you to go home and feel like you didn't do enough to try and save your family for your mom." I smoothed my thumbs over his hollow cheeks as I held his face. "To some degree, I know her pain. I know what it feels like to lose something precious and then pin all your hopes and dreams on one person. And Aaron is clearly the wrong person for anyone to depend on. But your mother deserves him. He's her son. She carried him for 9 months and raised him for 18 years. Losing him after all the time honestly sounds worse to me than..." I cut off. 12 weeks. Just shy of it, actually. But there was no need to finish that sentence, because I didn't want to talk about my past anymore, and Mason knew exactly what I was going to say. Bringing me to my favorite position on his lap, he wrapped my arms around his strong neck and held me against his bare chest. Over the soft t-shirt I'd worn to bed, he kissed me, pressing his lips gently between my breasts, along the tops of them, then finally, against the heart-shaped valley between collarbones. Then he looked in my eyes, and like yesterday, I could read the words in his heart. All three of them. "God, just say it, Mason," I thought before promptly changing my mind. "No, don't say it." I didn't know what to feel, how I would react if he did. It was too fast for those words, and I was more likely to be struck by lightning than hear them from Mason Leo. But I sensed them so clearly, it felt like I could trace them with my fingers if I wanted. To my disappointment and relief, they didn't manifest in his lips.
"We'll give it one more shot,"
Mason concluded. Then his mouth curled in a smirk.
"Might as well, considering the 4 a.m. craziness they sent us."
True. It had been comical, almost. Despite our exhaustion in bed last night, Mason and I had gone for round two. It was unplanned. We were sweaty and sticky, so we jumped in the shower, and though it started with just my lips wrapped around his cock, it ended with Mason lifting my feet off the ground, wrapping my legs around his narrow hips, and pounding me so hard against the marble tile. I couldn't think about how loudly I was screaming his name. It simply wasn't a priority. And maybe there had been a knock at the door. Maybe I hadn't heard it, but I had a feeling Aaron had at some point dropped by, because shortly after we emerged from the shower, there were texts in our phone, from Aaron and Eva, respectively. I didn't ask to read the message Mason received, but I hoped it wasn't anywhere near as dramatic as mine. "Taylor, I can't sleep. I can't think about anything but how furious I am with you and how sorry I am to you. If you want me to admit it, I'm jealous. I am as fucking disgusted as I am jealous that you let him fuck you like that. I want a chance to remind you that I can make you feel better than he does. But I know that after what I did to you, you'll never give me that chance, so at least let me know that you don't hate me. I'm a fucking ball of fury, heartache, and regret, and I don't know how to let all those feelings live inside me at once. It fucking hurts, Taylor. I fucked up. I'm a coward. That much I know, but I've made my bed, so I'll sleep in it. Just let me have a good memory of you before you go, even if none of us mean it inside and we're all still secretly wishing we could rip each other's throats out. Let's just fake it. For the sake of the last memories we get of each other, let's just sit together and talk and pretend we're okay with each other's new lives. You don't have to come to my wedding. I would prefer that you didn't. But at least see me tomorrow morning. You'll meet my future wife, I'll make amends with my brother, and then we'll move on like strangers, or at least two people who don't still love each other. I'm begging you, Taylor. Please. For the second time, I stared at the text Aaron had sent last night. I laughed as Mason read me the much less dramatic but passive-aggressive, yet somehow flirty texts Eva had sent him, which included an official invitation to brunch with their friends on the resort's beachside terrace. We decided to go. We were already seconds from going home, so it seemed mostly harmless to stay a couple hours longer and at least try to achieve that moment of peace between the two couples. It was in Mason and my own interest, too, to have Aaron out of our hair if we wanted to explore whatever bud of a real romance there was between us. So, rather than make toward the helipad, we prepared ourselves for a truce over brunch with the soon-to-be bride and groom. Mason kissed the back of my neck as he zipped me up into the nude dress he had purchased for me that day we ran into Whitney, then perched at the edge of the bed. I watched him change freely in front of me, still struck from head to toe by his stone-carved magnificence. Amusingly enough, I wasn't dreading going to brunch because I didn't want to see my ex with his model fiancé. I was dreading it because I knew it would be torture for me to sit at least an hour without being able to crawl all over Mason and put my hands all over his body. Judging from how he pushed me against the wall and kissed me hungrily for several minutes before we left the room, he felt the same way. Now that the seal was broken between us, we couldn't get enough. But we had all the time to explore each other once we got back to New York, and knowing that made my heart just about sing. I just needed to survive the next hour or two, and then I could have as much Mason Leo as I could possibly ask for. In my apartment. His apartment. His office. Wherever. And I couldn't wait. "Ready to go?" Mason asked, holding the door open for me. I laughed, adjusting the sweetheart neck of my dress and watching his eyes follow me out into the hall. As ready as I'll ever be. Chapter 20. Considering the mess that was last night at the pool, it was almost hilarious to see all the same faces gathered around brunch this morning in their Sunday best. Rather than swim trunks and string bikinis, there were now linen shirts, pressed white pants, and tea-length dresses. Matching were the bride and groom. Aaron wearing a striped pink tie over his white shirt to balance the rosy crisscross halter dress that Eva wore painted to her lithe body. Her honey-colored hair was neatly pinned into a braided side bun that nicely complemented her razor-sharp jaw, as well as the ladylike manner she'd polished for her pre-wedding brunch. Of course, I saw flashes of that fiery temper she made famous in her viral video trashing Mason's office. She had been perfectly cordial while greeting us, and even sweet to me by complimenting my dress. But it wasn't long before Eva was peering over at me with rapidly declining politeness. She tried to hide the first few glances, but as the meal went on, especially with Aaron staring at me on her left and Whitney Decker whispering in her ear on her right, the green-eyed monster inched forward to rear her ugly head. But it started small.
"Wow, you really finished that fast," she smiled, interrupting the table's conversation to point out my empty plate. It would be a possibly harmless remark from someone else, but there was no set of ears at the table that didn't read between the lines of Eva's words, especially since she let her gaze fall briefly to my stomach. But while Mason was more than half to blame for my cleanly finished entree, I said nothing to defend myself. "It was delicious," I returned her smile, taking a sip of my water. I waited for another remark from her, but there was nothing. And shortly after, the conversation returned to where the bridesmaids had purchased their dresses. So, for the moment, I was in the clear. "You're a fucking champ, by the way," Mason murmured in my ear, a laugh in his voice as he draped his arm over my shoulder. "You deserve a reward for sitting through this." "The plane ride home with you is reward enough." "I already know exactly what I want to do to you," I grinned as I smoothed the napkin on my lap.
"You had the time to think about that already?"
"Vividly. Should I kick Sophia and Noah off our flight so we can have some privacy?"
"Maybe." I slid my eyes across the table to Sophia, but instead, I found Aaron. He had a blank look on his face as he watched me try to suppress my giggle. I averted my gaze, eager to be looking at anything else as Mason made me squirm with husky whispers of all the dirty, bad things he had in store for me.
"Not now," I scolded him playfully, but it was too late.
Eva had caught Aaron looking again, and with both Leo brothers' attention wrapped on me, she was growing quickly livid.
"I do think it would have looked better on you," she declared, sipping champagne as she stared at me.
I was briefly confused until I realized that despite her dark eyes on me, Eva was talking to Whitney.
Oh, dear God.
They were talking about my dress, the one I had been trying on when Mason and I put Whitney in her place. Reaching for Mason's hand, I squeezed, letting him know that there might be trouble ahead. If not trouble, then at least some considerable bullshit.
"Everything okay?"
he murmured under his breath, oblivious to the subtle put-down slowly coming at me from down the table.
"I'm not sure,"
I answered truthfully, waiting for the direct insult to hit. But it didn't come, and I was thankful for it because it wasn't long before I found myself miraculously laughing in a conversation that included Sophia, Mason, and Aaron. The dessert that came out was what sparked the nostalgia. A lemon meringue pie that naturally reminded Sophia of her attempt to make one for Thanksgiving last year. Her hand mixer had broken, so she wound up bringing her giant bowl of egg whites to dinner and passing it between Mason and Aaron to hand whip, since they were the strongest. Of course, the giant bowl of egg white wound up divided into two, Aaron's idea, so he and Mason could each whip their own and see whose turned into meringue first.
"I think they bet, like, $1, and Aaron was convinced he was done first, even though we all said he wasn't, so I told him to turn the bowl upside down over his head to test it," Sophia snorted, preemptively cracking up at what happened next.
Even Eva's lashes were fluttering with curious amusement. She actually looked incredibly sweet when she laughed.
"Then what happened?" she asked.
"God, I don't know, Aaron.
What happened?"
Sophia asked with her trademark sass. The entire table looked to him as he covered his face in shame for a second, and then laughed.
"I knew I was wrong, so I wouldn't do it. But everyone wanted to test the meringue now, and all the nieces and nephews wanted to see what happened when the bowl got turned upside down. So I had to do it," Aaron said.
Then he grimaced and shook his head.
"But my mom saw how much I didn't want to get fucking egged in my nice clothes, so she, basically martyred herself and said, 'Turn the bowl over me.'"
The table collectively gasped as Eva smacked him.
"Aaron Leo, you did not,"
she cried, scoring points with me for looking appropriately appalled.
"Tell me you didn't do that to the poor woman."
Aaron dragged his hands over his face, covering it in pure shame.
I did, he groaned, sending the table into uproarious shock and laughter.
But before anyone could give Aaron too hard of a time, Sophia supplied the true ending of the story.
But he was actually right. And the meringue was done, she said. Aaron finally beat Mason at something, but he couldn't even enjoy it because we were judging the shit out of him all night for throwing Aunt Clara in front of the bullet.
Everyone was laughing hard. Even Mason was. But I bounced my knee under the table, fearful that Aaron might flip a switch and get offended by the ribbing. He was known to do that in the past, but when I peered at him, he was surprisingly good-natured.
Yeah. Not my proudest moment, and definitely nothing I plan to repeat, he said,
his grin fading to a slight smile as he turned to me.
I still remember how good it was, though. That meringue? Sophia got lazy, big surprise. So Taylor finished baking it, and God, I remember it being the best thing I've ever tasted.
Oh, boy. I chewed my lip, one of several at the table who caught the tone in Aaron's voice, and the faraway look in his eyes as he gazed at me another second, before staring down at his plate. Giggling a second ago, Eva was back to being stiff. Her mouth was stretched into a tight, closed-lipped smile, as she sat up so straight, I practically heard her back cracking.
Well, let's hope this meringue compares to Taylor's, she said, glancing at me as she picked up her fork.
Sensing the tension, I looked to Mason, but he didn't seem particularly perturbed. Maybe it was because he'd put his hand on my knee to stop it from bouncing before, and since, his palm had made its way up my thigh.
Try it,
he said, holding a forkful of the dessert off his plate. I'm full. I smiled at the glimmer in his eyes as he lowered his voice.
Come on. His grin was so damned irresistible. Help me get through the rest of this brunch.
Watching me eat dessert is what helps you get through boredom?
Watching you wrap those lips around something.
Yes. If you wait a little longer, you'll get to watch them wrap around something even better, I smirked.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because the second we get on that plane, I'm bending you over and fucking you, Taylor.
Damn it, Mace. I pushed him away to thwart any blushing, but it was too late. And I could tell from the way Sophia was nudging a very hungover Noah down the table. I would have smirked and shot them a look, but I knew that if they were watching Mason and me, so were Eva and Aaron, and without even looking in her direction, I could feel Eva's next remark brewing.
Taylor, you have to try the dessert. I have to know if it compares to your meringue last year, she said,
innocuously enough, but my alert was still on high.
Definitely, but in a bit. I'm pretty stuffed. Oh, but you have to try it now. It's so good, Eva insisted. Take off your Spanx if you have to.
Ah, there it is. Hardly surprised, I managed a smile. I'm actually not wearing any. This dress is too tight for me to fit another layer underneath.
That means you should have gotten a size up, Whitney quipped, smiling innocently at me.
But then she eyed Eva, the two exchanging a look of mischief before she went on.
Yeah, I know it's, like, in right now, but I just don't ever want to be the curvy type. They just don't look as good in clothes.
Eva touched her lip.
True.
Fucking news to me.
It was a low, almost bored mutter, but the entire table heard it and stopped for a second to peer at Mason, who acted oblivious to the attention his remark had gotten. Checking the time on his phone, he looked up and raised his eyebrows.
What?
He played dumb. It was the one thing he couldn't pull off, and I found it far more charming than I should have. But judging from the little smiles around the table, I wasn't the only one.
Okay, so we might have to go soon,
I whispered in his ear, hardly able to contain my amusement.
Just say the word.
Mason smirked as Eva let out a loud, heavy sigh. It sounded like a preparation for her final act, one last jab to try and bring me down. I couldn't help looking her way again as she spoke, resting her hand on her perfectly flat stomach.
Yeah, that's why I have to get pregnant soon, she said, gazing down at herself. I heard your body doesn't bounce back as well after 27, and I just know my pregnancy is gonna do a number on me.
Why's that? Someone asked curiously.
Eva slid her hand in Aaron's, smiling despite the uneasiness on his face. I felt it, too. I didn't know what it was, but I couldn't help feeling oddly nervous about whatever Eva was about to say.
Well, I heard it's a tougher pregnancy when you're carrying a boy, and I just feel it in my heart that that's what I'm going to have. A boy, Eva said dreamily, perching her elbow on the table and her chin in her hand. And when I do, I already have the name picked out for him.
She turned her big, innocent eyes to me.
It's going to be Nolan.
The screech of my chair pushing out from under the table deafened me. Everyone else, too. I could tell from the wave of audible cringes. I wanted to apologize, but the blood was draining fast from my face, and my heart was beating out of my chest as I stormed as far from the table as possible, as fast as my feet could bear to take me. I felt instantly sick to my stomach, disgusted with Eva, but more than that, loathing Aaron for not only leaving me but telling his new fiancé all about the baby I named after the teacher who helped me get to New York. The baby I had lost to the most horrific pain of my life. God, I mean, how did that conversation even go? By the way, the girl I left you for carried my child for almost 3 months, but then we lost it and it sucked. But hey, now I'm with you. I could barely manage to talk about what happened to even the closest people around me. And yet Aaron blithely told the woman he abandoned me for. And not only was she able to live with taking him from me despite what we went through, she was able to throw it back in my face for the cheap sake of hurting me, forcing me to cry in front of a table of strangers. There was a lot I could take, but I couldn't take that. And I was done here. I was so incredibly ready to go home. My heart was pounding out of my chest as I continued away with no direction at all. I had stormed my way to some hallway strewn with flowers when I heard the footsteps behind me. I expected Mason and Aaron, but I suspected I heard even Sophia as well. When I finally spun around, I confirmed all three, including Noah, who pulled Sophia back to let the brothers rush forward to me.
"I'm sorry," Aaron blurted hastily, horror in his eyes. "That was disgusting. I didn't know she would say that. I swear, I didn't think she could possibly..."
"I don't care about her!" I yelled at him, Mason containing my fury with one arm wrapped around me. I tried powering through his grip to scream straight in Aaron's face, but there was no chance of that against his strength, so I simply glared through tears at the man I couldn't even remember loving anymore.
"You did this! You made all these choices. You proposed to me. You left me. You didn't have the heart to tell me, but you did. Tell your new girl about our baby boy," I hissed, watching my words cut like blades through Aaron. "And you know what? I expect her to hate me.
Even if I weren't with Mason, I would expect her to want to cut me down at least a little. So her behavior is of no surprise to me.
But you... I would have thought that despite all the shit you've pulled on me, you'd still be a good enough person to keep at least Nolan between the two of us. But you're not."
I was breathless, panting. Aaron was already crying, but I cruelly went on.
"I don't know. Maybe we just didn't deserve him, Aaron. But whatever it is, I'm done so much as looking at you. I'm done letting you hurt me. And I'm moving the hell on. So I urge you to do that, too. Enjoy your life with Eva. You deserve each other."
Chapter 21.
Breathe. Remember. Forget. Breathe. It was an odd mantra, and it wouldn't make sense to anyone else, but it made sense to me. And it helped my heartbeat return to normalcy within an hour on the plane. I just needed to breathe in, remember what I had now, how it was worlds better than what I had in the past, then breathe out. After all, nothing had actually changed.
Nothing from before the brunch with Aaron and Eva had changed except for the fact that I now knew my ex was actually worse than I imagined. But that didn't matter. He was my ex, my past, and I was moving on. I only cried because it was a cheap shot. But that was how cheap shots worked.